Good morning again to many of you. I hope everyone is doing well this morning, excited for our time of worship together at Flat Springs. So wonderful to see how God has called us together during this very special time, and always a special time for our worship experience together. If you are a guest with us, if you have this is your first time being with us, or you've been many times and have not filled out a guest card, we have those located right in front of you in the pew there. If you would, we would love for you to fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate so we have a record of you being with us and are so excited you are. Just to make sure, we are all back on schedule as normal for this week. I know we missed Wednesday, and a lot of us have seen a lot of snow, but if you're like I am, you are excited that it is melting, and we have experienced our snow for the year, hopefully. But everything is operating on normal schedule this week. Are there any other announcements we have? Yes. Okay. FSYC, next Sunday, not today. Youth normal time tonight. Excellent. Well, if I don't see any other announcements, let's begin our worship service with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads together. God, we are so grateful to be in your presence right now as your church, Lord. We've come before you, Lord, to worship you, to say we love you, to sing praises to your name, God, to be filled by your Holy Spirit, inspired and moved to show others your love this week. God, as soon as we leave here, remind us that we are still your church. We are going out in great number to love the community we are a part of, to love the world we are surrounded by, to show them who your Son, Jesus Christ, is. And God, it's always in his name we pray. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for worship this morning.
Amen. You saw some worried faces up here. We had to change that song at the last minute. They were troopers anyway. I appreciate that. Page 533, He Lives. You ask me why I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Let's all stand. 533.
Thank you. I say it every week, so wonderful to hear us singing praises to God, right? I love that. I love seeing you all come down. I want to make sure everybody can see a little piece of paper I have right here. You may wonder, what is this piece of paper? There's a lot of words, a lot of steps on here. Well, these are instructions to make a friendship bracelet. Now, I didn't bring the supplies to make a friendship bracelet, but their instructions are right here. And as you can see, kind of extensive. There's a lot going on here. You have to have everybody choose the colors they want, hold all the links of colors together, make them even, number them so you know which number you're going to go in a row to cross them over. And it goes all the way through each step so you know along the way how to do each step to end up with what you want to end up with. And they're easy enough to follow, right? Some parts may be a little more difficult than others, but you have them all right here in front of you. I wanted to ask you a question. How many of you like to play board games? Does anybody still like to play board games? Please tell me yes, because I do. We have some. Good, good. I know that maybe seems old hat now, but there are so many cool board games out there. Tell me, what is your favorite board game? Monopoly. I love that. I'm glad you said that's my favorite. I love that. What else? Your favorite board game? If you could only choose one board game to play, what would it be? Candyland. That's a classic. That's great, isn't it? Trouble. That's good. That's a good one. What else? Somebody tell me one more board game. If you could only play one more board game, what would it be? Monopoly. I love that. That's good. That's my favorite one. That seems to be a popular one. I love Monopoly. Now, you know that each game has rules that go with it, right? Or else, how would you know to play the game? You have to have rules. Can somebody tell me who makes the rules for each game? Who makes the rules for each game? Exactly, absolutely. The people that made the game, that created the game, make up the rules. And if we didn't follow those rules, we wouldn't know how to play, and it probably wouldn't make any sense. And it might be a little frustrating, and you wouldn't know what to do during the game. Well, in life as well, there are rules that we follow, for a lack of a better way to put it. And right here in the Bible, it tells us a whole lot about how to live like God has created us to live. And we're going to look in Mark chapter 1. I want you to listen to several verses right here, okay? Verse 21, it says, they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered into the synagogue and began to teach, talking about Jesus. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, what business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? And you go down, and it says in verse 28, immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. You know why the news spread so fast? Because they knew that Jesus was teaching as one with authority. That meant he knew what he was talking about. Jesus was actually talking about the rules of life and how to live the life we're supposed to live like God created us. And they could tell, it seems like Jesus knows what he's talking about almost like he wrote the rules. Because he did. Jesus wrote all the rules, and we learned what Jesus said and taught in the Bible. So this morning, I want you to remember just how important it is to read about Jesus in the Bible so we know how to live like he created us to live for him. Okay? Let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for teaching us what it means to live like you want us to live by reading the Bible and learning about your son Jesus. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I'll see y'all next week, okay?
As our children are returning to their seats and heading to children's church, let me invite you to open your bulletin to our prayer concerns, and let me start off by saying how grateful I am as pastor to have been a part of our opening this morning in our Sunday school when we're going to be trying something new. I do have on good authority that there will be 40 more copies of the Bible study. If you did not get one, that we will be able to have for you. And for those of you who say, what in the world is he talking about? I'm glad you asked. What I'm talking about is next Sunday, we're going to begin an emphasis where we'll be doing the same. During the Sunday school, we'll be studying a lesson on a theme that we will also bring in our morning worship. So we're going to be tying Sunday school and worship together. We are emphasizing the priority of how Bible study and worship can transform disciples, can transform homes, can transform lives. And we are inviting and encouraging and asking, and okay, begging, that for the next 15 weeks, you'll make a strong commitment to be both at our Bible study and at our worship. This morning, when we were doing that, Steve was standing behind me, and I saw Anna putting the board up, but I didn't really pay attention to it. And Steve reached over and said, "Look at the board." And I thought, "Look at a board? Why do I need to look at a board?" And I didn't. But he was persistent. Thank you, Steve. And so finally, he said, "Look at the number on the board." And when I looked at that 176, I teared up. Thank you. Thank you for being a faithful congregation in so, so many ways. I pray God will use this, and I want us during our morning prayer to ask God to use this time that we'll be spending together for these next 15 weeks, and then way beyond that, into His glorious future for us as a church, that we might continue that work. I do want to add one name to our prayer list, that of Jimmy Love. Jimmy had surgery, and then there was a problem, and they had to do emergency surgery. He is at Central Carolina Hospital, doing better, but we want to add Jimmy to our prayer list. And then you see the family of Sylvia Brown. We want to be remembering this family in a very special way. She struggled for a very long time, but simply was not able to overcome an infection. We want to keep her in our prayers. Would you pray with me? Lord, we gather here as people of faith, people of the book, as people of the light. We also gather as people who intercede on behalf of others, to go before you on their behalf. And so now we bring this list of names to you. And Lord, we are grateful that as we worship you in spirit and truth, that you just speak to us. Thank you for using eternity to speak to us about who you are, our Lord Emmanuel, name above all names. And Lord, as we just continue to lift you up and realize that this is your church and we are your people, we are the sheep of your pasture, we are your body, that we have come because we love you. And Lord, we want you to know before we leave how much we love you. Be with us now as we continue to worship you in spirit and truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Page 470. In this world, we have a lot of decisions to make. There, our lyricist, Mr. Lowell, says that in the strife of truth and falsehood, we have a decision to make. For good or evil, we have a decision to make. Once to every man and every nation. Sometimes when I see the news, I wonder if we live in a good nation, but we often don't have an input into our community that we should have. Sometimes we have a little too much comfort in our homes and sitting in front of the TV on our recliners and enjoying the comfort of our home. Some great call, some great decision. It only takes an instant for that decision to go by and you've made the wrong one. Mr. Lowell talks about being a coward in making decisions, and sometimes we are cowards. We make the wrong decision because it's convenient to make that decision. Page 470, let's all stand.
Thank you. we come to you now with our tithes and offerings, acknowledging that you are the provider of all that we have. Lord, we thank you for all your blessings. We ask that you would accept these tithes and offerings as an expression of our gratitude and love to you. Lord, bless the gift and the giver, that they would be used for the service to you and the furtherance of your kingdom. Amen.
And the people said, "We do love your church," and all the praise goes to him. Leonard missed Wednesday night in his choir, and then he had personnel changes, but the music has blessed us this day. Thank you, choir. Thank you, eternity. Thank you, Leonard, and musicians. If you would, take your Bibles and open with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read the first 12 verses of the 5th chapter, Matthew 5. We're going to read what's been called the Beatitudes or the Blessings. The Sermon on the Mount is for disciples. It's not for lost people. It's for those who are of the faith. It is probably the single greatest collection of the teachings of Jesus Christ, Matthew 5. 6 and 7. He'll teach us about anger and retaliation. He'll teach us about oaths. He'll teach us about being a witness. He'll teach us about how to forgive. He'll teach us how to pray. And he starts it off with these wonderful words of blessing. What I want to remind us of is it's not a menu from which we pick and choose. You can't be meek and merciful, but not seeking righteous or not mourning. These are characteristics of every believer. At different times in our life, sure. But the teachings that Christ gives us, and that the fact that blessing comes to those who in the Lord live their life according to this teaching. We who are disciples will find peace and joy. And these promises are eschatological. Aren't you glad you came today just to hear that word? These are eschatological promises. These are promises of end time realities. That when Christ will finally say enough, and the grace of God ends and judgment of God comes, and eternity begins to unfold in ways that you nor I have ever seen nor can imagine. These promises of those who are blessed by God. Even though maybe in this life we mourn and we never were comforted. We sought after righteousness and we were never filled. We tried. There's coming a day. There's a promise by God Himself, by Christ Himself, that one day these truths will be true. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? Seeing the crowds, he went up on a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. His disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, the disciples, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing and grant us understanding his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment or two this morning as we look at the characteristics of a disciple, that we might find ourselves there. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your hymn book to page 611, Let Your Heart Be Broken. Oh, that hymn we just sang about following the tracks of Christ. I don't think I've ever sung that hymn. I've sung that tune. Powerful words. Thank you for that choice, Leonard. To New Calvary's. That spoke to my heart. To New Calvary's. 611, if you'd mark that as our hymn of decision. A question that I need to ask myself, and I've been asking myself this question this week as I've been preparing for this message and as we've been working on the lessons for this coming emphasis. The question that kind of kept around the edges was, am I a disciple or am I deceived? Am I a disciple or am I deceived? And if I'm deceived, you know who deceived me? Me. Me. Am I a follower of Jesus Christ, totally sold out? Or do I do it a different way? When it's convenient. When it fits my life. In my world, Jesus. And that song, following the tracks made in blood. Did you catch that when we sang that? The tracks made in blood to our own Calvary, to our own moment. Am I a disciple? Jesus lays out those characteristics for us. What we think matters. What we feel matters, and what we do matters. Very quickly this morning, and I know I've got 9 points, and some of you are terrified. I'm a little nervous myself, but we're going to make it happen, and we're going to get out of here in time for the Super Bowl. Isn't it 6:30 tonight? I think we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine. What you think matters. There's a story told about a young American woman who went to Bonn, Germany, where there's a museum for Beethoven. And she became fascinated because they had one of his pianos. They had a piano that Beethoven actually sat at and played and composed some of those great works. And this was a student. She was an aspiring pianist. She had skills. She had training. She was good. And there she was in Germany. And I might add, she's an American. That tells you something too, you know. And you know what she thought? The thought came to her mind, wouldn't it be great to play the piano that the great master Beethoven played? I can understand that thought. So the student went and she asked the guard if she might just play a few notes. And to help him make up his mind, she slipped him a large amount of money. And he agreed. And so she went to the piano and played the opening of Moonlight Sonata. And as she was leaving, she saw that same guard. And she said, I guess all the great pianists, when they make their pilgrimage to this place, ask to play that piano, don't they? The guard shook his head no. He said, the great Polish pianist Paderewski was here a few years ago, and he was offered to play it. And he said, no, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. What we think matters, doesn't it? How we approach worship matters. How we approach God matters. What we think matters. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There's been debate among scholarship over whether that meant financially poor. I'm hoping that includes us. Them. But that's not really, I don't think, what it really means. Let me remind us of a truth that we all know. And one day we probably made a decision that changed our life, that changed our eternity. You remember that time? And if you never made this decision, I want to challenge you today to make today the day you make it. But you remember when you came and you confessed you were a sinner? You said, "Lord, I'm a sinner." That publican prayer, I'm going to mention it again in a moment. "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." What we think matters. Poor in spirit, recognizing that we're spiritually bankrupt. In Luke 18, 9 through 14 is the story of that two men that come to worship. They come to the temple, and one is a Pharisee. I mean, he has degrees and he has status and he has position in the church and he is known as a religious and a godly man. And the other is a tax collector, and he's seen as a traitor because he's collecting taxes for Rome. And the Jewish brethren hate him. One that they just consider him to be almost like God, the Pharisee, and the other they consider to be almost like the devil, the publican, the tax collector. And Jesus tells us this disturbing story about both of them coming and praying, and one of them prayed an elaborate prayer and talked about how he tithed and how he served and how he fasted and how much he was, how he thought, is what he's told us. He said, "You know what I really think he thought? He thought, 'God, you're lucky to have me here today. God, you're just blessed that I took it out of my busy schedule to include you. You're lucky, God.'" That's how he thought. It's hard to argue with it when you read his prayer. And then there was that tax collector, who didn't even come to the front, at the back. "Pray, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. What we think matters. When we recognize we're broken, then God can do something. Then God can change some things. Then God can make some inroads. He can change the way we do our relationships with others. When we're poor in spirit, and he says we'll ultimately inherit the kingdom of heaven. Secondly, he says, hunger and thirst after righteousness. What do you hunger and thirst after? One of my favorite poets from my childhood was Victor Buono. Oh, he did some great poems. He's not really a mainstream poet, though. He did a lot. In fact, my favorite tape by him was called Heavy, and it was about obesity. Just between you and me, that means fat, okay? That's what it was. And all his poems were about fat. And he has one poem, and they were all humorous. He says, "You are what you eat," said a wise old man. "And Lord, if that's true, I'm a garbage can." You ever thought about what you eat? What if you started looking like what you ate the most of? Wouldn't that be scary? But there's a truth. What comes into us is what nourishes us, what makes us. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says he can fill us. He can satisfy us. He can make us content. There was a great cartoonist who committed suicide, and he left a note. It said he had been to many places. He had had much money. He had all kind of success by the world standards, but he grew weary of rising up each day trying to invent how to fill 24 hours with any happiness. He wasn't filled, was he? He wasn't satisfied. Today, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, if we can make it a priority, he will fill us. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Meekness is not weakness. Let me say that again. I wish I'd thought of that. Isn't that great? Meekness is not weakness. I think we sometimes think, I love the story that Jerry Clower told when he was playing football at Mississippi State University. They were playing Baylor. And he had it on the scouting report that the guy that was going to, the defensive tackle that was going to be on the other side facing him, he was an offensive tackle, was studying for the ministry. And he thought, well, that ought to be a neat experience because Jerry was a Christian and this brother was a Christian. No, it didn't work out like that. He said that man was the dirtiest football player he had ever seen in his life. He said on one occasion the play was going the other side. Said the man came in behind him and knocked him down. He said he hit me so hard and I went face first in the ground. He said my bottom jaw fell open and I looked like a backhoe as I just picked up a great big mouthful of dirt. He said, I got up and I was spitting that mud out and I looked at him. I said, man, you're supposed to be a preacher. You study in the ministry. And you're going to act like that and do like that? He said, he looked at me, pointed his long finger, and in his best preacher's voice said, and the Bible says, the meek shall inherit the earth. And I just got a mouthful of it. Well, no, that's not what it means. The meek will rule the earth. That's what it means. The meek will rule the earth. We're ruling the earth. Jesus often spoke in paradox. Lose your life to find it. Give to have. The last will be first. And the meek instead of the strong. The meek will rule the earth. The meek that are meek in the Lord. A horse is a beautiful animal and it's strong. It's amazing how strong an animal that horse is. But he's not a useful animal unless he's broken. He's got to be broken. He's still just as strong after he's broken. But now he's under control. You see, a horse that's strong and not broken, poor in spirit. He won't let you sit on his back. He won't let you put a bit in his mouth. He won't let you hook to him a wagon. But once he's broken, he's just as strong. He's just as strong. But now he's meek. And now he knows his master. And he does what his master wants him to do. Are we meek? Has that poor spirit allowed us to become broken? Not only what we think matters, but what we feel matters. The mourning, those who are weeping, those who are crying shall be comforted. When's the last time we cried over sin? I remember when I was 12 years old, and I was in a revival at Second Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I was sitting right where Josh is sitting, in that sanctuary. And I began, for the first time in my life, to put together I was the preacher's kid. I was there every time the doors were open. Every time they were open. I'd been through Sunbeams. That tells you how old I am. I had been through the juniors. Primary of the juniors. I was in RAs. I'd been in every worship service since I was born. But at age 12, sitting in that moment, I realized that Christ died for my sin. For my sin. Not for your sin. Not for your sin. But for my sin. And I remember the tears. You know, 12-year-old boys trying to play football don't cry very often, and I don't cry very often. But the tears, I began to mourn for my sin. That's what he's talking about. Those who mourn their condition.
their brokenness. Disciples, not deceived, disciples began to realize that those tracks in blood were made because of my sin, that Christ paid the price that I might have life and have it everlasting. What we feel matters. Mercy. It says that those who give mercy will receive mercy. Well, we might want to translate that, and then that's how you earn it. You earn your mercy. No, you don't earn it. You can't earn it. I can't earn it. We're not that good. But the mercy comes from God. And the mercy comes because once we realize how much God loves us, His love transforms us. His love changes us. His love begins to make us think thoughts we never thought, feel things we never felt, and do things we never thought we could do. Because when we give mercy, we don't give it in order to get back. We give it because we've received it. We give it because we've received it. Finally, this morning, what we do matters. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. Pure in heart. In the Jewish days, there was a great concern over how one washed their hands before coming into the temple. Whether you rubbed them the right direction and you used the right amount of water and you did it the right number of times. And there was all kind of rituals about cleanliness. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan when the priest and the Levite passed on the other side. Some have argued that they were in that cleansing rite thing in their mind. They were going to serve in the temple. They were on their way from Jericho to Jerusalem. And they had to be right to go in the temple because they had to be clean to get in. And Jesus more than one time said, it's not about the outside, it's about the inside. It's not about the hands, it's about the heart. Pure in heart. What we do matters. If Victor Buono was right, if we are what we eat, it is also right what we see, what we hear, what we listen to. Does it make sense that we can listen to impure music or watch impure TV or impure thoughts on the computer and then be pure in heart? I don't think so. I just don't think so. It doesn't make sense to me. What we do matters. Our witness matters. How we live our life matters. James says that a fountain can't give all salt water and fresh water. What we say matters. How we talk matters. Where our humor leads us matters. What we do matters. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the sons of God. This is the work of the church, to bring peace. Maybe we should have gotten a great idea way back in the Wild West days. Maybe that was, I began to think, maybe that's the first time the church and the culture began to diverge. Because Colt came out with a pistol, a revolver. It's also called the Army pistol. But you know what his nickname was and what everybody knew for it? Knew the name of that pistol was back during the Wild West days? It was called the Peacemaker. The Peacemaker. Get it? I'll make peace with you. I'll kill you. I'll shoot you. And then we'll be at peace. Or at least I'll be at peace. You'll be dead. That's how the Peacemaker worked. That's how the world. Don't we understand that's still how the world works? But that's not how God works. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not by force, but by love. We're peacemakers by love.
You keep reading in this Sermon on the Mount, and he'll say, if anybody slaps you on one side of the face, pull out your peacemaker. No. Well, yeah, I guess he does. But not a colt. He says, pull out love, right? Pull out love. Turn the other cheek is what he says. Turn the other cheek. Boy, that's popular, isn't it? Turn the other cheek. Disciple or deceived. We make peace by love. The world needs the love of God. This community needs the love of God. You and I are entrusted to be the love of God. And finally, this morning, and I just noticed what time it was, we've done really well this morning. The persecuted shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Peace is coming. Every wrong will be made right. Every stand you make for God, God won't forget. Every pain you endure, God won't forget. Every insult you incur, God won't forget. The persecuted. He goes on to describe that beatitude when he says, blessed are those when they revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets. And I almost wished he had said, and so they'll persecute me. And so the call of disciples, not the deceived, the disciples, is as we sang. We got to sing that again. To walk out of the sanctuary today, following the tracks of our Lord and Savior, made in his blood. Our new Calvaries. And God has promised us that he'll handle it all. To make the Lord of our life the Lord of all, these are our characteristics. May God help us to receive his blessings. Blessed are those. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for a faithful congregation that loves you and even now is making decisions in our heart about how we will follow you in decision making and choices. One man, one nation. Lord, I pray for the nation, but help me to make my choice. To be a disciple, not to deceive myself, to give you my best, to give you my all, for you gave your all for me. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 611. Let your heart be broken. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some choice for him, let us invite each other as we sing and pray to do so as we stand together and sing. right to my left, I think just to my left, are additional copies of the Sunday school lesson for the students. If you're not exactly sure what that's about, maybe this is your first time hearing about it, then you might want to pick you one of these up, because we're going to start next Sunday where we couple the Bible study of our Sunday school hour and the worship of this hour together. And so these are the lessons. We were so enthralled with 176 here that we had to go make more copies, and we have done that. I've had one to mention to me they'd like to have it electronically. If you just shoot us an email at the church, you can shoot it to me, to Matt, or to the general email address of the church in the bulletin, then we'll be glad to send you, we'll email you a copy that you can look on your computer if you'd like to do that as well. It's in a Word document, and you can take that. I hope you'll pray about what all God will be doing. And I'm just excited about what God is up to in these next 15 weeks, especially as we pull together this resource to see what our Bible study and our worship together might look like. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people, His blessed people, in the midst of all this. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place that we might indeed take those characteristics of a disciple and apply them to our heart and to our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.